Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Live from Arkansas, the sun is out, and we are happy about that as fans here are fired up for the football season and a huge opener against the University of Cincinnati. We say hello to you for the final hour. We've had Coach Pittman and Coach Musselman. How about this? The CFP expansion, we have a statement from the commissioner of the SEC, the man who nearly had made this happen a year ago. Greg Sankey saying this is an exciting day for the future of college football as originally proposed. The 12-team playoff creates more access for teams and conferences across the country to compete in college football's championship event. And a lot of people, as he finishes the statement, there is work to be done to make this format a reality. I'm pleased that we are all moving in the same direction with a common sense. And there's a lot of people wondering right now about the lost year, essentially, that could have been used had everybody been on the same page. I know where you were. Hunter Yurecek joining us, the athletic director here. Let's get, first of all, before we talk about this important weekend, your reaction to this news finally. We don't know when yet, but it's happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's what's best for college football to provide more access for teams. And, you know, right now it's 4, soon to be 12. I'm sure we'll have that debate over 12 and 13 when all this begins, just like we have over 4, 5, and 6. But it's definitively what's best for college football.
And I realize we don't know. There's a lot of moving parts, and you understand it. It's easy for me to sit here and say, well, go ahead and do it. It takes a lot of things that need to be done, but Where do you think they are? How do they decide 24, 25, or 26?
That I'm not real sure, but obviously you've got to figure out, you know, the bowl component and how the bowl games fit and the current bowl structure fits into that. Are there going to be on-campus games as you open up that? When are those on-campus games going to take place in relation to exams that happen in mid-December on most college campuses? And so I think those are the details that still have to be worked out. But the first is, you know, how does this fit into the context of the bowl season?
Yeah, and I think we can objectively say that the 4-team model was better than 2, but it's been not that the SEC commissioner is probably concerned about this, although he was at the vanguard of expanding it, but it has primarily been most of the same schools every year.
It has, and I think that this will provide, you know, those that want to have value throughout their entire season because you have an opportunity to get access to this game and you're not eliminated 2 or 3 weeks into the season.
Your current schedule done by others is interesting because this is the kind of schedule that I think we'll see more of where you play a Cincinnati, a Final Four team. You go to BYU. But what do you think long-term adding 12 to the playoff will mean for the day-to-day scheduling of college athletic directors?
Well, from a Southeastern Conference perspective, we've had a group that's run over 5,000 different models, whether the 8-game schedule is better than a 9-game schedule for access to the CFP, whether that's 4 teams, 8 teams, 12 teams, and we'll decide as a conference, is that better to have 8 games or 9 games? And then if you have 9, do you want to add still that Power 5 component like we have now with 8 games? And I think some schools will see that as a benefit and some will see that as a detriment.
It's not easy. I don't want to diminish whether between 4 and 12, but there is more room for error. As an athletic director, this school has always played very strong opposition. How do you conclude on how to do that, assuming it's 9 games in a couple of years?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think there'll be a learning process. This is 12-team playoff starts. I mean, we're going to be learning, you know, what's that metric look like that gets you into the 12-team playoff. Now, we're pretty locked in on what the 4 looks like, but what is that formula, that scheduling formula that gets you into that mix for being in the top 12?
And, Hunter, you always hear scheduling is very long term. You just can't decide to play somebody next year. So, I mean, how deep into the future are your schedules firm, and does this affect anything?
It absolutely does. I mean, we've got games here at the University of Arkansas scheduled out as far into the early 2030s, and so we're almost looking 10 years out from now that we have games scheduled. And so as we'll have to evaluate that as Texas and Oklahoma come into the conference in the next few years, and do we move to an 8-9 game schedule, and what does that schedule look like moving forward?
As you sit there in these meetings, every school has a different perspective. But as the argument goes on between 8 and 9, I'm assuming, I'll let you tell me because I've never been in one of those meetings, that 8 gives you more opportunity for non-conference games. And it also precludes that with 9, half the league has another loss.
Sure, but you also have another metric that it could be another win for you, right, in your school, depending on how that plays out against a really good SEC opponent. And so you can look at that. Yes, every school is going to have another loss, but there's 9 schools that are going to have another win, for sure.
Too often those 9 schools are probably in pretty good shape anyway.
Yeah, already, for sure.
Let's talk about your coaches. I was just commenting to you off the air, having talked to Coach Pittman, and obviously Muss, and everyone knows about the baseball program here. I mean, you could argue that nobody has better coaches in the important sports and in the less revenue sports.
Sure.
You've got an amazing lineup here.
Yeah, of course I'm going to argue across the board. Our 15 coaches are the best in the country. We have 15 head coaches leading 19 sports. We finished 7th in the Learfield Directors Cup standings. We had 18 of 19 teams advance to postseason. 9 teams that were in the top 10 nationally, 14 in the top 25. That's a testament to our head coaches and their leadership of our programs and the student athletes that they're bringing into the program. And so I think, you know, from top to bottom, we have the best collection of coaches in the country.
And
if you could let them know I said that, by the way, that would be awesome.
No, and by the way, I mean it's one thing to say that. You came well prepared to answer that. Not that you had to prepare. You know all this stuff.
Sure.
This is what you do, and you have been rewarded and honored as the top athletic director in your field as well. I remember talking to you a couple of months ago or a year ago. I can't remember whenever it was at that event. So I know you do what you have to do, but is you've been other places. You've been very successful places. How does this place differentiate, though? Because there is a – does that help when everyone else is doing so well?
I think it does, absolutely. I think the success of that one program has or multiple programs are having kind of fuels the fire of those other programs, not only the coaches but the assistant coaches, the support staff, and, of course, that are student-athletes. And they see that success is possible here at the University of Arkansas. I mean, we have the 10th largest budget in the Southeastern Conference, but we're having as much success as anybody that's got much larger budgets than us. And so I think our student athletes, when they see other teams having success, they truly believe that they can also have success as student athletes and teams here.
When you meet people around the country, I'm sure they ask you a lot of questions, but I would think one of them is, what is the secret sauce? And there is none, by the way, but other than a lot of work and good
sure.
decision. But
yeah.
But you've made so many interesting coaching decisions that, quite frankly, and the Pittman one has been hashed out and will forever be hashed out
sure.
as one of the most surprising and most successful ever. What goes into making those decisions?
Well, first and foremost, for my philosophy's changed over my 12 years as a director of athletics is that obviously you want a coach that knows the game and knows how to coach, but I'm looking for really good people that are going to be great leaders of young men and women that I'm going to enjoy working alongside of. And Sam Pittman and I have a great professional relationship, but we also have a great personal relationship, and that allows us to have some really tough conversations around the office, but also have a friendship where we can go out and have dinner with our wives and have a really good time. And I feel like I've got a similar relationship with all of our head coaches, and that's why I think this really works, and we work well together, and our coaches work well together.
Athletic directors miss, and they're good people making choices that in the moment seem right, but some of it's competition, but we see it every day. There are coaches that just don't work out. As you have done this and done it at the highest level, why do the mistakes happen?
Well, I think sometimes you get in a rush, and you know, when hiring Sam Pittman, letting Chad Morris go with a few weeks left in the season, had a little bit longer runway to evaluate coaches and make a decision on what was best for the University of Arkansas program and really outline what we needed as that next leader of our football program. We were behind in recruiting. Sam Pittman's a great recruiter. We were behind on both the interior line, offensive, defensive line. Obviously, nobody knows an offensive line better than Sam Pittman, and if you know an offensive line, you're coaching against a defensive line. Sure. And somebody that wanted to be here at the University of Arkansas and love this state and love this place, and that's what Sam Pittman was.
It seems, to step back from what you did with him, that too often you said things are rushed. There are people that control things. There are agents. There's media. There's all kinds of leaks. And I know you not too many people had Sam Pittman on the list, so you probably didn't have to deal with that. But I'm sure you watched this in real time. We watched it last year at a couple of very high-profile places. How do you be true to yourself where you make the decision? Because too often the athletic director, rightly or wrongly, is not the only one part of the process.
Sure, and that's where you, as an athletic director, have to do a great job, what I call managing up. You have to have a great relationship with your chancellor, your president. You have to have great relationships with your board of trustee members that may have an influence in that decision, and they have to trust you that you're going to make the best decision for your university and your institution, and that comes from building relationships with those people. And, you know, we have an interim chancellor now in Charles Robinson that's very supportive, but our former chancellor, Joe Steinmetz, was incredibly supportive of me during the coaching search for Sam Pittman and Eric Musselman and Jordan Weber, and I can't thank him enough for kind of trusting me to run that process the way I thought the process should be run as an athletic director.
Obviously, things are going great here. It's not like you're thinking I need to start compiling a list of coaches, but you had in Eric Musselman a very much in demand coach. You have to be prepared. Now, I don't think that's an issue any longer because I believe the extension is pretty locked down, but is it something you're always thinking about as an athletic director? You meet people, you know the industry. It's not like you wake up one day and call somebody and say, I don't know what to do. Is that an ongoing process?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're constantly kind of evaluating as you're watching the games on TV throughout the course of the season and seeing, you know, how coaches work the sidelines in a football game or a basketball game. Coaches you interact at various meetings that we have nationally and as a conference, and just continue to develop those relationships, not only with coaches, but people that you trust that can help recommend the right person for your institution.
In Coach Pittman's case, and this is something you've discussed in the past, but it certainly was a possibility. Everyone, at least people like me, knew that this was heading down a road where a very difficult, tough decision would be made. How far out did you start thinking Sam Pittman could be somebody I would like to talk to?
I think that was early on in the process when Chad Morris was let go. There were multiple people that Sam had worked with during his first stop at the University of Arkansas, former student athletes, people in our department that had worked with him that brought his name forward, people across our state that had a relationship with him and still had a relationship with him.
Did you ever have to fight it off, though, where, you know, there are people, and the good boosters, they mean well, but they also hear things and they say, hey, this guy is somebody special. Don't you think we ought to go to him? Pittman's a nice guy, great reputation, but how do you say, listen, I feel good about this person?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're always, sometimes as an athletic director, you look at, like, I've got to win the press conference, right?
Sure.
You want to win that 24-hour period, but that 24-hour period doesn't necessarily win you any football games or basketball games in the future. And so you've got to take a step back and say, okay, who can help us truly develop and build a program that can be successful here at the University of Arkansas?
Maybe this is being cynical, but it seems like sometimes people in your position are more interested in what are people going to say? How are they going to react? You've made a lot of hires. You know that fame is fleeting. But deep down, do you keep up with all that noise? And you have to see it. You have to hear it. People around you are telling you. But deep down, you have to be able to say, okay, listen, I was hired to do this job. I wasn't hired to follow the crowd.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm on social media as far as Twitter, where I push information out, but rarely do I read the comments. I don't receive a local newspaper. I don't listen to local radio. Sometimes I don't listen to, you know, local sports casts. And so I hope that doesn't offend any of my members in local media, but I think that helps kind of put me in a little little bit of a bubble, especially when you're doing a coaching search like that, where you just I keep the circle of people. I only had three people involved in the search for Sam Pittman and for Coach Musselman, and that kind of keeps your circle pretty tight and keeps information from getting out and also keeps information from getting in when you're trying to make a very challenging decision. You know, I've hired now a 23-year-old gymnastics coach to lead a gymnastics program in the SEC that had never been a head coach, had only been a volunteer coach, to hiring an offensive line coach, to hiring, you know, an NBA coach for the most of his career. And you just, again, I think you got to hire the best people that are the best fit for your institution in your department. And for the state of Arkansas, the state, I mean, Coach Pittman's got a great saying on his wall. It's like, you're not committing to the University of Arkansas, you're committing to the state of Arkansas. There's not another Power 5 team in this state. There's no major professional sports franchises. And that's truly, when you're here at the University of Arkansas, it's about the entire state of Arkansas, not just the university here.
Finally, with Hunter Yurecek, I realize you have trusted people around you. Maybe there's a friend, maybe there's a family member. But at some point, do you run it by somebody who you know you can trust? You're not concerned this person is going to leak it. So what do you think? You're not in this every day like I am.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that whether that's colleagues around the country that I trust that I've worked with before, or some business leaders, especially in this community, right, where some very strong business leaders that are in leadership positions that have hired people, running some things by them for sure.
Well, we've had a professorial lecture here by one of the top athletic directors in the country. I am fascinated by this subject because I don't know what happened, but because Hunter, it's just, we watch it in real time. We'll do it again in a couple of months, and not here.
Absolutely not.
It moves so fast, and the decisions, some work out great, and unfortunately, too many don't.
You're exactly right. So, well, Paul, thank you for your time. Thanks for being here. What are you going to throw that Cincinnati helmet tomorrow?
That's the rumor.
Okay.
We'll see. I may have to get a loan because, as I joked with you off the air, we got stuck with a $365 bill by the University of Texas. You think the University of Texas, as rich as they are, could have just waved
it? Here's what I'll tell you. You throw that helmet, the Cincinnati helmet, tomorrow, and they send you a bill, I'll pay for it. How about that?
We're done. Okay, that's a lot of money for a poor guy like me. Hey, Hunter Yurecek, thank you.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. It has turned into a gorgeous day here in Arkansas. We've had every imaginable type of weather, but it's Arkansas. And we are glad to be here. It's been an amazing show, Coach Muss. We had Sam Pittman on earlier as we welcome all of you back for a huge week one of the college football season. And we have an amazing locale here. We're sitting here as at the end of the day at the beautiful old main building. It's one of the oldest, most historic scenes in intercollegiate athletics and in academia, I should say. And we say hello to you again, final 35 minutes or so from Arkansas. We want to say hello as well to Dawn Davenport, who's covering the Memphis-Mississippi State game. Dawn, thank you. It's great to talk to you again. And good afternoon, and tell us about what has not been a great game for Mississippi State in recent years, especially last year, a very controversial ending. What are you learning about this game tomorrow?
By the way, I just had to give you a little cowbell to start this off, you know, because I am in Starkville. Well, guess what? You're going to hear them loud and clear on Saturday night, because State might say that this isn't a revenge game and they're not worried about it, but I promise you, this is a revenge game for Mississippi State. And it's funny, I was actually on the sidelines. I worked that game last year, and Mississippi State was in control over Memphis in that first half, 17-7 at halftime. I remember talking to Memphis head coach Ryan Silverfield, and he was like, this is going to be a really long second half if we don't learn to slow them down, to stop them. And they sure did. And yeah, there were some controversial calls at the end, especially with a punt return. And that guy, that dynamic punt returner, Calvin Austin, is gone for Memphis. So Mississippi State won't have to deal with that. But it's funny, one of Mike Leach's, and you know Leach well, one of Mike Leach's big sayings is respect everyone, fear no one. And some of the players I talked to felt like maybe that respect was lacking in the second half against Memphis last year. So while the team is saying, okay, no, we don't look at last year, there is revenge factor here. It's a night game. The fans do not like losing to Memphis. I think that cowbell sound, they are going to be out of control here on Saturday night.
Yeah, and Dawn, let's talk about Mississippi State for a second, because there's a lot of optimism. Last year wasn't great at times. There were some good things, but it ended badly. And sometimes you have to shake that off. What are we going to see? We know the quarterback. We know there's high expectations there. What are you hearing from the coaching staff?
Mike Leach likes this team. Not that he would ever say that, but Mike Leach likes this team. I just went to walk through, just chatting with him. Just my feeling is that there's a lot of optimism here. It's year three in a Mike Leach system for this team. It's year three for Will Rogers at quarterback. I actually worked his first start against Vanderbilt when he was a freshman. I remember being super impressed by his poise and his leadership at that stage in his career. Well, now it's ridiculous. I mean, he broke 25 records last year, program passing records last year. He completed 50 passes against Memphis in this game last year, and they still lost. Like, I think that this kid is super underrated. They've got 16 starters back, 8 on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that people are overlooking them. And let me ask you this, Paul. Do you have Will Rogers in your top 5 of list of quarterbacks in the SEC?
I think yes. Barely, but he's in there.
Okay. Well, barely. So there's a lot of people that don't have him in the top 5 list of quarterbacks in the SEC. And I asked Leach about that. I'm like, is that a product of system? Like, people don't understand the air raid offense. They think he's a product of that system. And Leach said, and I asked him if I could quote him on this, but he said, if he's not in your top 5 on your list, then you need to stop making lists. Like, the kid's legit. I think he's going to be even better this year. And there's a lot of talk about no Charles Cross, nobody protecting his blind side. You know, he was a first-round draft pick. He's in the NFL now. And Leach said, you know, that might be a little overblown. They feel really good about what they have coming back on that offensive line. And Q is at center again. He's taken 1,700 snaps in his career at that position. I think that there's going to be some surprises at wide receiver, that some kids that stand out that have made progress, they're still going to, you know, throw the balls to the running back and check down on you and move the ball and score. I just think that this team is super underrated. I think you're going to see it against Memphis, a very young team with 2 brand new coordinators on Saturday night.
Dawn Davenport, getting us fired up for the Memphis-Mississippi State game, and we are heading to the break. Thank you, Dawn. Much more to do. We have a couple more guests. We're going to talk to Doring, as we always do on Friday. We are live in Fayetteville on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Crazy day in sports with the CFP expanding to 12. We always, in our final 30 minutes, or almost always, try to check in with Chris Doering, who normally joins us from the studio getting ready for the weekend. Chris, of course, good afternoon, Chris.
Hey,
what is going on with you?
Man, it's a busy week, isn't it? The added game last night. I headed down after SEC this morning to Columbia to talk to Shane Beamer and his staff today in preparation for calling their game tomorrow night. So a lot of extra work here, a lot of excitement, but just happy to be back having college football again.
Well, great. Well, let's talk a little about South Carolina's game. Fans are not too nervous about this. They may get a little more concerned the following week when Carolina heads where we are, but what have you been able to pick up from Beamer, and what do you think about their team?
Well, Paul, I think they should be a little nervous, in all honesty. I mean, this is not Eastern Illinois, who they opened up the season with last year. This is a team in Georgia State that's not unfamiliar with coming into SEC venues, and in 2019 actually knocking one of those teams off with the Tennessee Vols going down. You'll remember last year on the Plains, they took Auburn to the wire before Auburn made a miraculous comeback. So you'll see no intimidation from Georgia State. They have a bunch of kids from the state of South Carolina, and let's not forget the Sean Elliott connection there, as he coached on the sideline under Coach Spurrier, then eventually took over as the interim head coach after Spurrier retired. So I think there's a lot of unique storylines here, and maybe the biggest storyline of them all is Spencer Rattler having a chance to make his debut in the SEC tomorrow night.
Chris, let's look at some of the big games in the SEC tomorrow. We always like to get a thought from you or two about some of them. Let's start where we are right now, because fans here are confident. They really feel like this Arkansas team can break the bank. They have to beat Cincinnati first. What do you think?
You know, there's a large varying opinion scale here between what Arkansas can be this year. I've heard a lot of people talk about them being the third best team in the conference. I have concerns about that, though. You know, not only do you lose probably your best player on offense last year with Treylon Burks and all the production and maybe comfort that he provided to KJ Jefferson, but defensively you lose Morgan, you lose Hayden Henry. Those guys were the cornerstones of that defense last year. So I worry about not only the production that you lose with those three guys moving on, but the leadership. And I love the culture there. I love Sam Pittman. I love how quickly he's turned this thing around. But I worry a little bit about how long it'll take them to acclimate. The good thing is you have a team that's coming in Cincinnati that also has a little bit of the same problem, with a ton of production lost from last year's college football playoff team. So I do feel good about the Hogs tomorrow. I just want to find out who those leaders are going to be and where that production come from that was lost from last year's team.
So I guess that was an Arkansas win?
I'll take Arkansas to win. I will take Arkansas to win. But for the long term, I'm a little concerned as to where the leadership and where the production comes from.
Fans, I didn't hear a lot of confidence out of Doring there. Okay. Well, Doring, Chris Doring, he always makes friends wherever he goes.
Yeah. You know, my Kentucky prediction didn't go well either, Paul.
We won't go down every game because most of them seem pretty obvious, but there's probably the most interesting or the second most interesting game. I want to ask you about one more game before we get to what I think is the toughest. You feel like LSU is going to be able to handle Florida State Sunday night?
Yeah, I like LSU. I think LSU has a chance to be one of the surprise teams of the year. A lot of people not high on the folks from Baton Rouge, but I'm buying Brian Kelly 100%. I think the biggest problem was not talent on that roster, but really not being one team together. So I think he'll do a great job of providing some healing in that locker room and get them on the same page. They're a roster that has a lot more talent, in my opinion, than Florida State. I think LSU wins this game going away, makes a statement there in their second home in the Superdome, and gives the fans quite the hope from what they've been going through the last 2 years.
Okay, let me get to the game I'm sure you've heard a lot about since you live down in Florida.
Yeah.
And that's the one tomorrow night. Yeah. Utah coming in. A lot of people love this team. They won the Pac-12 last year. Heading into Gainesville, playing a team that we've had countless conversations about, Chris. We just don't know, but we're about to find out. What happens tomorrow night?
Paul, I've been to multiple practices this spring and this fall, and I still don't really know what to expect from this team. The one thing I do know is this team's going to go as far as the quarterback Anthony Richardson will take them. There's some talent around him, but he's the guy that provides the explosiveness in this offense. He's got to be more consistent throwing the football, got to complete the easy throws, got to prevent the turnovers that have cost him at times, and most importantly, he's got to be in the lineup because of the threat that he not only puts on the opposing defense, but there's nobody behind him. With Jack Miller having gone down with that thumb injury, he's out of probably another month or so. The backup is Jalen Kitna, John Kitna's son, who hasn't taken a snap of college football yet. So Anthony Richardson is going to be the key, obviously. I think the defense is better here. And even though a lot of folks think that Utah could be a dark horse college football playoff team, I honestly believe Florida finds a way to win this game. I don't know how, and I'm definitely not coming from the homer perspective here, but I think that Utah is going to face a raucous environment, and they're going to face what they think is a night game where it's actually going to be about 90 degrees and 95% humidity. I don't think there's any way you can replicate what they'll walk into on Saturday night.
There you go. Chris Doring going with the Gators against Utah. Chris, we'll talk to you next week. We'll be watching tomorrow. Thanks so much. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.